Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
We have one more day for the fast. So if you have been fasting, stay strong. I don't think we had any all-food fasts as part of what we were doing, but if you did, congratulations, you have only one day left, and then we can eat. I know I've been hearing some rumbles. I've had some meals with a couple people here, and it's really hard to have a meal with someone when they're fasting because you don't know what you can cook or what you can't cook, and so it's been fun. But you also don't want to talk about it, right? So it's like, I can't eat that. Or you're like, no, thank you, and they're like, why, right? I don't know if anyone had that experience. But I don't know about you, but the last 21 days have been really powerful. I feel like they have been defining, and my prayer is that it'll last the whole year, right? We don't want to just do a 21-day fast and then kind of forget about the names of God and slip back in, right? And so I encourage you, if you don't have a 21-day fast prayer guideline yet, or even if you do, keep it. There's some more on the welcome table. If you know someone and you're like, man, I think this would actually really help them grow in God if they had this, why don't you grab one? Because we'll keep them out there for today. And I encourage you, put it up somewhere where you can pray them. And I don't know, the structure of having a name of God per day for me really helped. Because how many like wake up and you're like, I don't know what to pray. There's so many options, or I'm overwhelmed, or I'm drawing a complete blank and feeling very not spiritual. Anybody been anywhere in those, right? And so this is really helpful to get a grasp on your prayer life. So I encourage you, keep praying the names of God, and it'll be really powerful. So during the last 21 days on Sundays, it was God is truth, right? That was the theme. But we've gone a little deeper into who God is. We've learned about him as our Elohim, our creator, our Yahweh, who is a personal God, right? Our Adonai, who is our Lord, not just a Savior, and our Jehovah Jireh, our provision and our vision, right? And this is so important because so often we just pray to God, and in English, God can be a capital G or a lowercase g, and so it's okay to use to pray to God. I'm not saying you can't use the word God, but it's really powerful when we get specific and recognize the character of God. And I feel like it can release breakthrough because the truth sets us free. And when we speak the truth of who God is into our situations, there's a level of breakthrough that is released. Amen? Amen. So if I see God as my creator, I don't have to question my design. Or if I do, I know to go to my creator to process that. God as a God I can be in relationship with. I won't be alone fending for myself. God is my Lord. I will surrender to him and not just want him to save me. God is my provider and vision. I will trust him and catch his vision for my situations. Amen? So it's kind of like a health check. If you find yourself trying to fend for yourself, or you find yourself confused of who you are, or you find yourself really lost in your vision, it's a good moment to go back to God and say, wait a minute, who am I saying God is? And I'm speaking that over my situation. So it's a good health check. Have you ever just been confused and you don't know what's going on? I've definitely been there. And so this is an anchor for our soul. This can be an anchor for your marriage, your anchor for your work situation, whatever it is you're dealing with, an anchor for your health. So as our 21-day fast wraps up tomorrow, it's not a time to forget these, okay? So our key verse has been Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing or the renovating, I like renovating better, of your mind. How many like renovations? How many hate renovations but need to do some in their life, right? How about in your house or your car or whatever it is, right? But I want to add another verse to today's theme scripture, which is 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Anyone feel outwardly like you're wasting away a little bit? Maybe it was a little bit of a long week or whatever it is. For our light and momentary troubles, now if you know the author of 2 Corinthians, his light and momentary troubles are maybe not what we would call light and momentary. I just want to put that out there, okay? Are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes. Everyone say, fix our eyes. Not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So this whole sermon series has been, we are transformers living beyond what we see, right? So what we see is temporary, but what we don't see is eternal. So today we're going to talk about a name of God that is really powerful, and it has really spoken to my life and brought me a lot of breakthrough. 40 million Americans have anxiety. 40 million adults. Let me clarify that. I'm sure there's another statistic for youth and kids. But 40 million adults have anxiety. And I won't do a show of hands, but if 40 million in the U.S., that's probably a pretty high percentage of even this room have anxiety. Whether you have been diagnosed with it or and have more of a clinical, maybe you're on some medication, or maybe it's more of a situational anxiety. Have you ever just been anxious when you walk in a room and had to deal with something, right? So maybe some of us are on more of an extreme side of it, and some of us may just touch on it sometimes. But if you've been through 2020, we've all been through a level of trauma. And so I'm not trying to over-dramatize that, but I think it's really important that we don't under-dramatize it either. And as I've been, you know, working with youth and connecting with you guys and just hearing what's going on in the world and different churches, there was a trauma that we went through. And for some of us, that triggered a deeper level anxiety that we're still working out. All right? Is anyone with me today? So the fact is, the fruit of the world is not peace. Can we just agree with that? For some strange reason, I feel like sometimes we think it is, and then we get really surprised when we get anxious. Isn't that weird? It's like, wait a minute, nothing new is under the sun, but we think the fruit of the world is peace, but it's not. It's anxiety, right? And even Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, not as this world gives, right? So even Jesus is saying, look, you're not going to get peace from the world. And so that's really important as we talk about this. Where are we looking for our peace? And this is something I have dealt with. I've had anxiety on and off for several years. And last year, I got breakthrough for the first time in it after reading a really powerful book written by a pastor. I was doing a leadership pastor training, and I was reading it, and I just got a huge breakthrough in it that I wasn't even expecting. How many have ever read a book and it changed your life, right? How many have read the Bible? Can we just raise our hand? Okay, I just checking. That was the test. Everybody failed, okay? anyway, so after reading this book, I actually got breakthrough in the area of anxiety in my life, really big. And I had been dealing with anxiety for a number of years without really thinking about it. But where it really hit was right before 2020. For those of you who don't know, I was supposed to be in Pakistan on a mission trip the day that our area shut down in 2020. I was literally supposed to be getting on an airplane, and I was going with a church down south, and down south, they had a little bit of a different perspective on how things were going, and so I was talking with the pastor down there, and he's like, nah, we're going to Pakistan, don't worry about it, everything's fine, and I'm looking at the news, and I'm watching our town shut down, and I'm like, really? I was like, my entire town just shut down. He's like, it did? And then a day later, his town shut down. And I'm like, I don't think I want to go to Pakistan and be like stuck there for the next year or something, right? I don't know. How many knew, like when that happened, no one knew what was happening, right? We had no idea. If you did, God bless you. I didn't, right? Even people who thought they did really didn't know. I'm still not sure what was going on. But the point is, we all walked through that together. And I ended up in the doctor's office because I had tightness in my chest. And I thought, I have COVID, right? It's like, that was one of the symptoms. I'm like, I don't know. Am I okay? And they're like, yeah, you don't. They didn't even say COVID. I'm like, okay. But they were like, is there anything stressful going on? I'm like, well, I'm supposed to be in Pakistan in 2 days and the world's shutting down. And they're like, well, I think you have an anxiety disorder. And I was like, I don't know what I have, but I'm definitely not feeling great, right? And so now it's on my medical record, of course. And some of us have been through trauma, or maybe it's more inherited, like in a family situation. So some of us have been walking with that for years and have known about it, and maybe you've talked with your doctor. Some of us maybe refuse to even think that it's a possibility. And then some of us only recognized it when 2020 hit, and maybe what was always there came to light a little bit deeper than we thought, right? And so that's what I want to talk about today, but it's very important. This is why I was real right now, because there are no names of God that are discounted because of who you are or what you're going through, physically, mentally, or emotionally. Okay? So if we're going to talk about Jehovah Shalom today, it's very important that if you struggle with anxiety at any level, that you do not discount yourself from this name of God. Okay? And we're going to find out why in just a minute. 2 Corinthians 4, we're just going to finish up that passage, and then we're going to dive into a story. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this is all, that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Does anybody remember, if you were here 20 years ago, does anyone remember the Nina Hopper? She was our former worship pastor like 20 years ago. Do you remember that song? It was like struck down but not destroyed, right? We should have done it this morning. But anyway, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just keep going. But it was a great song. I like this translation. Paul was squeezed but not squashed, knocked down but not knocked out, right? That's today's language. Have you ever felt like you were squeezed and knocked down? But I'm here to remind you, you are not squashed and you are not knocked out, even if you feel like you are right now, okay? I want to speak hope into your bones. The worst thing we could ever believe is that our problems today discount God from being God in our lives. How many know God was a very real God in 2 Corinthians? But even in 2 Corinthians, we see this interesting parallel of what's going on spiritually and physically. And that's something that we need to walk through. So if you haven't already guessed, I kind of already said it, and Pedro already said it too. We are doing Jehovah Shalom today, the God of peace and wholeness. So could you just say peace and wholeness? How many know that's really what the world is looking for, peace and wholeness? And some of us are or maybe have looked at it in all the wrong places, right? Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's an escape thing. Maybe you've just given up on ever feeling whole or ever having peace. And I want to encourage you this morning. This name of God was revealed during a very calm and great part of history with the Israelites that were really close to God. Thank you. Last Sunday, if you were here, we had a little schooling. I said, you can't be quiet if I don't say something biblical, all right? So no. It was revealed to Gideon after he fought the Midianites and won and then had peace. We all need to have a little lesson on how to speak up. All right, let's rewind, okay? Let's rewind. Wouldn't it be logical, though, for the God of peace to be revealed after a battle was won? Isn't that logical? I was actually talking to someone this week, and I was like, I'm going to preach on Jehovah Shalom. And they're like, oh, that was after he won the battle, right? And I was like, well, that's what I thought until I looked at the Bible, right? So we're gonna look deep into the story of Gideon today, and I want to just describe where this story falls. So this is in Judges. Judges comes after Joshua, right? And I'm waiting for like two sons to be here in a family named Judges and Joshua, right? Wouldn't that be a horrible name, Judges? If you have a name of Judges, I do not judge you. But anyway, Judges comes after Joshua when the Israelites entered the promised land. So who here has ever thought, when I enter the promised land, if I can just get to the promised land in my situation, everything's solved, right? And that promised land could look different. Maybe it's a career goal. Maybe it's a relationship status. Maybe it's a savings status or a health status or whatever it is. But you're like, God, just get me to the promised land and I'll be set. Right? But we know when we look here that God's destiny always includes our attitude, our heart, and our actions. Right? You can get to every goal in your life, and you can go through opportunities that only God could have given you. But if you don't have the heart and the attitude and the actions that God has for you in those, you're not walking in the fullness of what he has died to give you. Right? You're not walking in or fulfilling your calling. This is really important. Judges 6 opens with the story of the Israelites, and they get to the promised land, and you think, guys, just get a clue. You got delivered from slavery. Let's just obey God for a while. Look what he did, right? Don't we always celebrate God for what he's done? But somehow, they get all messed up again, and they start sinning, and they get sidetracked, and then they run away from God, and then they turn back to God, and they repent, and then they get delivered, and then guess what happens? It happens again. Right? And again. And so there's this dysfunctional pattern of going to God, messing up, getting distracted, messing up, repenting, turning back to God, he delivers, and then they turn away from God, and it's like this cycle. Have you ever felt like you're in that cycle, if you're just being quite honest, right? You get saved, and we all know, that was it. Not exactly, right? Because humans are so easily distracted. It's so annoying, right? It's so easy to judge the Israelites until you look in the mirror. So this is where we find a man named Gideon, because the Israelites had turned away from God again. And because of that, God had handed them over to the Midianites. And the Midianites were coming in and they were stealing all the harvest of the Israelites for 7 years. So it's kind of like 2008 for 7 years or something like that, depending on how 2008 hit you or what. Pick a year that was not good for you. And it's like that for 7 years. And they were taking all the years of sowing. And so the Israelites were living in social isolation, a robbed economy, food shortages, right? Does that sound like maybe a sliver familiar, right? It was like the extreme version, the extreme sport of what we've been going through for 2 years, okay? And here we find Gideon. So Judges 6, if you want to open up your Bible, I encourage you to do so. And I encourage you, if you're looking for something to study this week, get into Judges chapter 6, okay? The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak that belonged to Joash, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. How many know that Gideon threshing wheat in a wine press is not a good sign? What do you do in a wine press? You make wine, right? So if he's threshing wheat, he's hiding. He feels like a victim, right? He's in isolation. That'd be like repairing your car in a grocery store so no one steals it. Unless you work at Walmart, because they kind of do that, but we won't go there, right? So today we're talking about just trying to survive as a win, right? That's Gideon. Gideon's like, if I can just get the food for my family, that's a win. Have you ever been there? Survival is a win today. I'm here to say, God obviously doesn't condemn that, because this is exactly where God showed up. If you're in your marriage, if you're in your health, if you're in a situation right now and you're like, you know what? Survival is a win. That's okay. But God doesn't want to just have you be there. He wants to come down and meet with you and go through something that we're about to go through. So when we're dealing with anxiety, there are a lot of tools that we can use. And after reading that book, I've been learning more and more about them. There's a study I would love to do here at some point this year. So if this really speaks to you, let me know. But today we're going to talk about PINS, P-I-N-S. Everyone say PINS. If you don't like the acronym, blame Brian. I was like, this has to spell something so we remember it. And the only thing we could spell was PINS. So think PINS. If you have anxiety, it sometimes, honestly, it can feel like they're pins and needles, right? That can be an anxiety symptom, or you're walking on pins, right? Anxiety. So think PINS. And we're going to unpack what that means. Because God did this with Gideon. He walked Gideon through 4 steps that set him free from limiting himself in anxiety. Notice I didn't say set him free from anxiety, but set him free from limiting himself from anxiety, okay? So number one is our identity. Judges, I understand it doesn't spell PINS right away, but at the end it will, okay? Judges 6, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Anxiety speaks death and condemnation, but God, Jehovah Shalom, speaks life and identity, right? Anxiety speaks death and condemnation. The Lord speaks life and identity. When I was going through my extreme anxiety time, it was like my identity was trapped. I couldn't see who I was. If you've ever been in an anxiety attack or an anxious situation, we lose sight of who we are and whose we are in God. It's the first thing to go. Before Gideon answered the "who do you say I am" question for God, God answered Gideon's unspoken question, "Who do you say I am?" Has anyone ever asked God, "But God, who do you say I am?" Maybe some of you have even been going through the sermon series and you're like, well, this is great finding out who God is, but who am I, right? And so this is where God answers that for Gideon. And what's interesting is God calls Gideon a mighty warrior while he is doing some stuff with wheat, hiding in a wine press. Mind you, his family, they had idols everywhere. I mean, we're talking, it was just a mess. I think it's a mess now. It was like a mess on steroids back then, worshiping idols and stuff. And God calls Gideon a mighty warrior. So Gideon needed an identity update before he could ever fight a battle. And I want to encourage you, some of you are trying to fight battles and you're asking God for battle strategy and you haven't asked God or listened and quieted yourself for an identity update. Because if Gideon had just called himself by his family's name, he never would have actually been able to win the battles that God called him to win. And there are battles that we are called to win as a church and individually and as families in this church that we are looking at and asking God for strategy for, and God wants to speak into your identity first. Are you following? You are a warrior and you have access to the God of wholeness and peace before you even face a battle. If you get a hold of one thing today, this will change your life. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your outlook. It'll change everything. So number two, everyone say needs. So the next thing that God did after the identity check was he helped Gideon figure out what his needs actually were. This is Judges 6. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied. Everyone say, pardon me. The comedian that's coming has a very funny joke all around the word, pardon me, by the way. But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? Everyone say, why? Where are all his wonders? Everyone say, where? Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midians. Who here has ever thought that you needed a very specific miracle and you didn't get it? Anybody? All right. I think it's important that we talk about that. We're a church that believes in healings. We're a church that believes in supernatural answers to prayer. But sometimes we set all of our heart on only one possible outcome in God, and we completely miss what he actually has done. Have you ever been there? It's a very humbling situation, and sometimes you need someone to actually process through what happened with you so you understand it more. Every pardon me moment in life is an opportunity to reevaluate what you have set your heart on. Some of us have sung Waymaker, and instead of singing Waymaker, Miracle Worker, we're saying, Waymaker, pardon me, what is going on, right? Have you ever sung that? Sometimes I'm singing and I'm looking at our faces and I'm thinking, nah, we got some pardon me's this morning. And sometimes I'm like, excuse me, pardon me, pardon me. What is going on here, right? And every pardon me, if you ever catch yourself saying pardon me, you don't need to walk into condemnation and shame, but it's time to reevaluate what is your heart set on. What do you really need? When we're anxious, when we have anxiety, it's a moment to stop and check, what do I really need right now to be okay? This is very important, and this one thing actually changed my life, the needs, this need tool. A prayer, a great prayer, well, I'll say the prayer in a minute, but I love Charles Spurgeon. He says, the more objects you set your heart upon, the more thorns there are to tear your peace of mind to shreds. Isn't that good? So if you ever find that your peace of mind is torn to shreds, and let me tell you, I have been there. And sometimes it's a season and sometimes it's a situation, right? It just depends. But it's a good moment to say, wait a minute. What am I saying I need right now? What's going on? Where's my heart? And this is the prayer that I want to invite you to pray. Jesus died so I don't have to need blank anymore. Okay, let me fill it in. Jesus died so I don't have to need man's approval anymore. Jesus died so I don't have to need this specific job anymore. I'm not telling you to quit your job. Clarify, all right? Please don't take that and run with it. But it means that my entire heart affection isn't focused on that, and it's becoming a source of anxiety. Are you following me? If you have anxiety, this should make sense to you, because it's very, very easy to get focused on a need, just like Gideon. He's like, pardon me, right? And so every pardon me is a moment to stop and say, wait a minute, Jesus died so I don't have to need this. Doesn't mean I won't get it. Doesn't mean God won't provide it or somebody else will, but I don't have to need this to be okay. That's very important. That'll set you free in a very deep way. That's what set me free last year. Number three. Everyone say number three. Purpose. Gideon needed a God-given purpose. When you have anxiety, it's very easy to lose track of your purpose. It's like the world starts spinning and you can't even figure out what your purpose is. How are you making a difference? What's even going on? I was with somebody this past week who had a panic attack. And the panic attack was so great that the floor was moving and their vision was blurring. And I was with them and I was praying, and it was like, it's kind of like when your vision blurs, you can't see your vision, right? Your purpose. Everything is blurry. The floor is moving. That's an extreme example, but some of us have been there even recently. Judges 6, the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" What did Gideon say? Somebody bring a Bible to church and read it with me next Sunday. Come on, who's got a Bible? Pardon, what does yours say? Excuse me? Oh my Lord. Apparently that's another translation for pardon me. Okay, well, pardon me or oh my Lord. Maybe that's why we say oh my Lord, right? We're really saying pardon me. Okay. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? There's a great one, right? When you're in an anxiety moment, you're like, pardon me, that's a great call on my life. Pardon me, that's great. I should go say hi to that person, or maybe I should deepen that friendship, or maybe I should try out small group at church. Excuse me, pardon me, but I am the weakest and I am the least. And I love what the Lord said. He just said, I'll be with you and you will strike them down. He didn't even be like, well, let's process. What does the weakest mean to you? What is the least? What does that actually mean, right? Hey, sometimes we need to process that, and that's okay. But sometimes we just need to be told, God is with you. You're going to strike them down. The giant is dead. Everyone say the giant is dead. That's a great song, a worship song. I encourage you to listen to it. And we're going to talk a little bit about what that is on Super Bowl Sunday. Gideon is saying, you know, I didn't go to Cornell, even though it's awesome if you do. But you can't find your identity in it from there, right? I didn't have a trauma-free childhood. Talk about a traumatic childhood Gideon went through. If you've ever discounted yourself from God's purpose on your life because you had a traumatizing childhood, don't do that. You may need to walk through some stuff, and that's okay. Gideon clearly had some things to work through. He didn't even have good genes, right? He was the least and the weakest. But none of that mattered to God, and none of it matters now. God's purpose for Gideon was not defined by Gideon. It was defined by God. Some of us are defining our purpose by what we think is possible, and God wants to redefine that for you. But I also want to speak to someone today who maybe you've been dealing with so much anxiety or so much going on in your life that you can't even think about purpose. It's too much. It's too overwhelming. And I want to encourage you, even if you find a little purpose, that's really powerful. I'll never forget when God said, if you stop for the one, I'll give you the hundreds. If you stop for the one, maybe your purpose is just to stop for one person every day. Maybe it's to help one person. Maybe it's, and you know, if you really don't know your purpose at all, you don't even know what you're good at or anything like that, talk to one of our pastors. We'll help you figure it out because everyone has a purpose. Purpose gives a focus and a motivation through the valley of the shadow of death. Through the valley of anxiety, purpose will keep you focused and motivated. All right? Everyone with me? When I had extreme anxiety attacks, this was years ago, and I was dealing with a lot, it was the purpose of God. I couldn't even feel what the purpose was, but I knew I had to keep going. And if you're there, then walk through the valley. Don't stay there and build a house. And the last one is source. God needed Gideon to check his source of shalom. But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die." How many know sometimes we just need to be told that if we're dealing with something that's really anxious? Peace, you're not going to die, right? And Jesus overcame death. So I don't care if what you're facing, we're never going to die, quote unquote, right? So this is always true for a believer. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it Jehovah Shalom. Shalom means completeness, soundness, peace, welfare, wholeness, and it's translated as safety and prosperity. Aren't those some good words? Peace is not a truce or a ceasefire. How many know that can be more like a cold war? Have you ever been in a relational issue with whoever it is in your inner circle of relationships, and you're like, quiet is not always peace, and peace sometimes feels like a very cold war between two people. Have you ever been there, right? Just because you're not yelling at each other does not mean you found peace, okay? Peace does not mean you've attained happiness. Happiness is usually circumstantial, right? I'm not going to get into a giant happiness, joy difference and all of that. I'm not going there. But peace doesn't mean happiness because it's not based on circumstances. It's based on God. Luke 1:79, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace, not to peace. Peace is not a destination. Peace isn't a place that God brings us to. It's a path through the valley of the shadow of death that he walks with us on. Are you following me today? And I know I've done this before, but I think it's because we often do it. So I'm using this example. I'll have peace when I'm done with my work. I'll have peace when my kids graduate college. I'll have peace when I retire. I'll have peace when I'm married. I'll have peace when I'm no longer married. I'll have peace whatever it is. We just say, I'll have peace. I'll have peace. Have anyone been caught there, right? I'll have peace at 5 p.m. I'll have peace at Friday at 5 p.m. How many know that's a great peace hour, right? I did not say happy hour. I said peace hour. Very big difference. But peace is not a promise of God that is a destination. That is so important. Shalom and wholeness in God is not a destination. First off, this is very dangerous because if you think you've attained wholeness in God, look in the mirror again, right? Until I see God face to face, I am not whole. Now, I'm not saying I'm completely broken. I'm on a journey of wholeness. I'm on a path of wholeness with God, right? God isn't just my victory. I'm wrapping up here, so if you want to stand on your feet. I know. But if I got to stand, we all got to stand, right? If you're able. If you're not able, that's okay. God is not just my victory. How many love to sing, God is my victory, right? And we're going to talk about that on Super Bowl Sunday. God is my victory. But this is incredibly important. One time I wrote a song called Redefine Victory. If you want to hear it, it's online. It's one of my favorites. Because how many know if we say God is my victory and then we don't get the victory we want, where is God? Right? That's the exact thing that happens over and over. Where is God? So I wrote a song called Redefine Victory. You can figure out what I redefined later if you listen to it. But before Gideon ever faced a battle of peace, faced a battle or brought peace to his nation, he got to call God his peace. In other words, before he ever faced an outward battle, he won the inward battle with God. And I'd like to say that this was the last time Gideon ever dealt with anxiety or anxiousness. However, Gideon really liked to fleece God a lot. If you read, and I'm not going to get into it right now because we're going to end, but keep reading that chapter in Judges and you're going to see Gideon's like, well, if this is wet or this is dry or this is that or this is, I'm pretty sure I have the same personality type as him because I did that when I was dating Brian. So you can tell me that story later, but thank God I married him. God had to slap me up the head. But before Gideon experienced God at his victory, he had to win the inner battle. And he didn't just overcome anxiety, but how many know through this, anxiety no longer had the final say? Okay? So if you deal with anxiety today, I want to encourage you. Anxiety doesn't have to have the final say anymore in your life. Even Gideon had to walk through some anxiety situations still, and we may need to, but it doesn't need to have the final say. I may have anxiety, but anxiety does not have me. And some of us need to say that every morning. Some of us need to walk through pins, having God affirm our purpose, our identity, our source, and our needs. And we may need to do this every day. This may be the next 21 days for us. This may be a process for the rest of our lives if you're really dealing with this. There is no shame in that. Clearly, Gideon had some issues he still needed to work out. And in the end, I love what God did. If I had anxiety and I was praying to God, I would have loved God to just take away anything that could have caused me anxiety. But what does God do? God, instead of taking away, he actually emboldens Gideon to do stuff he never could have dreamed he could do, and he reduces his army, right? You with God as your source of security and peace is better with all the odds stacked against you than you with all the world's security alone. And some of us need to remember that. Some of us today feel like the odds are stacked against us, and we need to remember whose we are and our purpose, our identity, our real needs in God, and our source of peace. If we confess it just like Gideon, God will empower us just like he did Gideon. So Jesus, right now, I just thank you that you are our Jehovah Shalom. God, I thank you, you are our Jehovah Shalom before there was ever a battle. God, some of us today are looking at battles that we don't know how to win, and we've been asking for strategy. And today, instead of asking for more strategy, we're going to quiet ourselves. And we're going to invite you to speak into our identity, to speak into our purpose, to speak into what our source of peace is and whether that's you right now, and to speak into what our needs are to be okay. And God, I thank you that as we do that, just like you did with Gideon, you are empowering us to do things that we never dreamed possible. And even if it looks like our resources are being shrunk, just like with Gideon, God, that you are going to do huge things through our prayers and through our actions as we follow your voice in what seems to be impossible situations. God, I thank you that you win battles with the odds stacked against us. That you aren't intimidated by humanity or the enemy, that you meet us in the impossible and the overwhelming. God, I thank you that you qualify the unqualified. Jehovah Shalom, I thank you that you empower beyond what we think is possible. Can we just say Jehovah Shalom together? I'm going to say a prayer, and if you deal with anxiety today, I just want you to pray this with me. This is not a magic prayer. And this is not a prayer of salvation. If you need salvation, we'll do that right after. But this isn't a magic prayer. This is an invitation to walk on the path of peace. Because some of us have been walking on a path to peace. And God wants to change your perspective on what you're walking on. So just say with me, if this is you, Jehovah Shalom, show me my purpose. Jehovah Shalom. I find my identity in you. Jehovah Shalom, you are my source. Jehovah Shalom, I give you any needs that I have idolized, saying I needed them more than you. And God, I just thank you that this is a church where anxiety does not have the final say. That some of us walking through these doors may have anxiety, but anxiety does not have us. Anxiety does not have Thrive. Anxiety does not have our region. God, I thank you that you are Jehovah Shalom. And we build an altar to you today in our hearts. We put you first today, even when we see battles in front of us, because we want to honor you now so we can walk with you on the path of peace. Through the valley, through the battles, through to victory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.